When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of MLS UK Show Stoppage Time. I'm Henry Hewitt, and as always, I'm joined by...
Elliot Holman. Loads to catch up on, I feel.
There is, yeah. We didn't do an episode last week because it was your birthday. So I think before we talk about all the news in MLS, I'm going to ask, how was your birthday, mate?
It was good. We're at the point where tomorrow, Bryony's full term with the baby. So I'm kind of like not really focusing on anything else other than the baby and how it could potentially be here at any time. So birthday's taken a backseat, I'll be honest. But I had a beer and I had some steak and that's all I need. I'm a happy boy and I'm 32, which is really old because that's how old you are.
Yeah, until next month when I turn 33. But I think you're right. I think after 30, whether you've got a kid or not, after 30, birthdays don't count, do they? Until you hit 40 and then 50 and then 60. But 32, who celebrates 32nd birthday? I mean, 33, that's even worse.
I feel like a child. Other than I used to get loads of money in like cards and stuff, but I got a little bit of money and I'm carrying it round. This is the most relatable adult thing. I'm carrying it round with me because I'd hate for it to get spent on like boring adult stuff. Like all the electric bills have gone up and the water bill's gone up and we're buying loads of baby stuff. And I'm like, this is mine. I'm like cradling it like you do when you're 8 and you get money in a card. I'm like, it's mine.
Yeah, exactly. Like, are you thinking of stuff like, oh, like, I mean, because I guess all of your stuff is going to baby stuff right now. But I mean, surely you can treat yourself, I don't know, to a new Orlando shirt or the All-Star shirt. That'll be released pretty soon.
I got the Orlando shirt for my birthday from actual Orlando. And wow. My dad bought that and delivered that, which was nice. I just think I need to buy some more shirts because there's so many good ones this year, and obviously our friends at Soccer 90 have got some pretty good prices, so I think that's where I'm going to spend it.
Exactly. And as an MLS UK show listener / host, I guess, but you do listen back to the episodes, you can get a discount of 20%. Just go to soccer90.com, type in MLS UK in the discount code at the checkout, and you get that discount on all MLS stuff. European jerseys, the new kits are coming out in Europe now, and also other apparel as well. So check out soccer90.com. And now we can look at the main talking points within MLS, which what happens usually is that we will record an episode and then something will get released. Some bit of news. You can guarantee after we finish recording, within the next 2 or 3 hours, some massive story will be released. This time, an hour before we started recording, some big news got released, and it's about Bob Bradley. He's been fired from his role as Toronto head coach, so we can discuss it now. And Elliot, I mean, this is hardly the most surprising breaking news. Probably the most surprising bit is that it took so long for them to do it.
Yeah, I think we've been waiting. We were waiting on Phil Neville, weren't we? And we were waiting on Bob Bradley. I understand why Bob might have been a slightly more difficult decision to make. He was, of course, appointed as a sporting director or similar, don't quote me. And I think the idea was that after, let's be honest, pretty poor couple of seasons, he would come in and look at the whole of the soccer operations rather than just simply the on-field decisions and the coaching side of it, that's really not worked. I feel like it could have done. I don't think in hindsight it was a terrible appointment, but that's really not worked. Because what's happened is he's been the kid who's able to go to the candy store and get whatever he wants, i.e. the players that they've brought in, some huge Italian names, for example, and then he's almost hung himself out to dry because he's the one that then didn't get the results with them on the pitch. So no surprise that he's gone, but I understand why it was maybe a slightly more difficult decision than just your average firing of a coach, because he's been the one that's been steering the ship completely.
Yeah, exactly. And I think as well that you've, Bob Bradley's a legend in head coach terms within MLS and US soccer. And I think you've got to give him the benefit of the doubt, because if you think about it, Toronto, yeah, they've not done well at all. But they've not had the starting 11 really for that many games this season. I mean, when you look at Bernadeschi last year, what he scored, 8 goals in 13 games. He's only scored 3 in 19 this season. Insigne, you know, has scored 6 in 11 last year, and he's only scored 3 in 13 this year. So that tells me that even though they've not had the first 11 for the majority of games, you look at those stats, he's clearly not getting the best out of those players, and those are the best two players they've got. So Toronto have underwhelmed this season. They've hardly entertained us, excluding 2-2 draws mid-season, a few months ago. And, it's been very poor. So I think, we were discussing whether it'd be Phil Neville or Bob Bradley. And when Neville went, we were thinking, well, it won't be long now. I think Toronto, we beat DC, didn't they, a few weeks ago. So that kind of gave him a little bit of, well, I think it gave him a few more weeks. But, I mean, since then, they've not won in 5. And, yeah, it's been pretty poor. But, I mean, to me, when you think about last season, they lost the last 4 games, I think, didn't win in the last 5. So he's just continuing form from that, really.
Yeah, and I know we talk a lot, I talk a lot about betting on the show. Like, it's no secret that, you know, I own like a betting tips company. I think it's important to point out as well, I watched Toronto on Wednesday night and I watched them on Saturday night. And both games in full. Cincinnati, tough place to go. Toronto started really well on Wednesday night at Cincinnati. They had a lot of possession. They created a few chances early on. But I have to say, and I've got the proof of it, got the screenshots. At 20 minutes in, when Cincinnati looked really, really poor, I lumped on, because you know what's going to happen. You've got a team that's really good, really solid at home, and Toronto, you just knew that they threw all they had out, and then you kind of knew that was it. That was everything. They'd spent everything they had in that 20 minutes and hadn't got them the lead, and it was just a matter of time. And of course, over the course of 90 minutes, it wasn't even a competition. Cincinnati are an incredible team, especially at home, but Toronto just a lost cause. And once they went 1-0 down, it's like they knew they'd seen the script before. Same at the weekend as well. Yeah, pretty poor showing from, let's be honest, a pretty decent squad. They've got some really good players. There's 3 or 4, 5 players that I'd love to handpick and have in my squad. So he certainly built a decent roster, but for me, the performances have been way, way off.
Yeah, exactly. They've got good players in the squad, but maybe the depth isn't quite there. And, you know, you could argue that Toronto are on a journey to rebuild, but, you know, while you're on that journey, you have got to be winning games. And 7 points off the playoffs for Toronto is extremely poor. The writing was on the wall when stories started being leaked about stuff going on in the dressing room and how the players weren't happy. So it was only a matter of time. And I think they just need a refresh. I think the time of Bob Bradley has come to an end, and we need someone else, whether that be an Italian coach or whether that be another MLS veteran, who knows? So we'll have to wait and see on that one.
Without a win away, which is, not unheard of, but after 10 away games, you kind of think the law of averages is going to give you 1. 6 defeats. strangely, like, loads of draws at home, but again, that's where you need to be winning your games. I just think it's been extremely, extremely average from a roster that isn't. And so therefore you have to back it up with results.
Yeah, exactly. So let's move on to the rest of MLS UK Show stoppage time. And what we're going to do today is kind of talk about a few of the interesting results at the weekend, mix that in with some of the news topics that has been around MLS in the last 7 days. Now, the only team that is keeping Toronto from the bottom of the East is Inter Miami, and they have announced, I don't know, I couldn't really make out whether they've fully announced it or whether it was a tease, but anyway, it seems that Sergio Busquets is off to Miami to join Lionel Messi. A good signing for you?
Of course. Again, the Messi signing was obviously huge, and we immediately, you know, ran in here and did a podcast straight away because it was massive news. Busquets, it's pretty much, for me, great, fantastic player, by the way. I'm a big Barca fan. Love that Busquets is coming to the league. For me, it's kind of on that. Do you remember when Wanyama signed? And like, yeah, it feels like that. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, decent, like, nice. You know, so I think it tells us a lot as well. What people aren't reading into this is that Miami, as we've discussed previously, left a lot of space on their roster for this season. And in the hope of course, improving the squad, and presumably always the plan was to get Leo in. Busquets comes in, and I think that tells you a lot about the rest of the space on the roster. There's not going to be, you know, there was talk of a Suarez. You can't bring in Messi, Busquets, and then still have a space for Suarez or, you know, even Neymar. That was ridiculous, but Neymar was being talked about. You know, I think this kind of, that's the level that they're going to operate on outside of this Messi signing. And that's basically the level that the rest of the league is operating on as well. Wanyama, Busquets, Nani, the Italians, you know, going to Toronto. I think they're all sitting at a pretty similar level at this stage of their career, I should point out.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I think this new sort of Inter Miami, they've been talking as well. Rumours are that they've already spoken to Tata Martino, former Atlanta manager, of course. So he's worked with Josef Martinez. So, yeah, I think that fits as well. And I think it fits because he's, you know, managed Messi. And, you know, I think the Busquets signing, I think it's a solid signing. I think you can, you know, we've seen before with a few MLS teams and a few teams around the world where you kind of just put in world-class players just for the sake of it and don't quite work out. I think Busquets has worked with Messi before, and also I think he's a sort of player to, you know, he's got a lot of experience, players will adapt around him, and he can be sort of an unsung hero really for Inter Miami. Hopefully he will be a success. Hopefully he won't be like sort of a Douglas Costa who doesn't really hit the heights of what we expect him to. So it's interesting times. It's very exciting times for Inter Miami. At the moment on the pitch, as I said, they are bottom of the East and they got beat 4-1 to Philadelphia at the weekend. At the moment for Miami, because they are in this limbo period where Messi's about to come, Busquets is about to come, potentially Martino is about to come. So they're kind of in a period of, well, we're just waiting for them and just get by until they arrive. But are they playing a bit of a dangerous game? Because let's face it, when Messi comes, it could end up being that Miami need probably on average like 2 points a game to maybe get in the playoffs. So it's not going to work out for them, is it?
No, it's not. This is the problem that, you know, there's an issue where the players that are free agents in Europe that are coming over are only available in July. So therefore you're playing over half your season before they're available. And then it's a rescue mission. Now, looking at Miami's, I'm having to look because I'm a geek, but I'm not that much of a geek. Miami haven't drawn a single game this season. Okay. They've lost 13 games. Their record in their last five is LLLLL. Like they're just not in a good place right now. But there's a lot of games they've lost, especially early on in the season. 1-0, 3-2, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 2-1, 1-0, 1-0, 2-1. They were so close. If you turn them into draws, it makes this Messi mission actually doable, but I think they're at a point where it's too far gone. To have not drawn a single game and to have lost that many, but quite narrowly, I think that's going to be the difference, unfortunately.
Yeah, exactly. I think this season is probably done for Inter Miami. They're in the semi-finals of the US Open, so maybe that will work out. Maybe a win in the US Open Cup could do something. The League's Cup, I mean, Messi is rumoured to be having his first game against Cruz Azul on the 21st of July, I think. So maybe he could impact that. So it could end up being a very successful season for Miami, even though they won't be in the playoffs, and then as a result won't be in the World Club Championships the season after. But there's a lot to look forward to for Miami. I think for Miami fans, it's just about get through these next few weeks, and then in July it'll be a lot rosier. A lot rosier than it was for. Did you see this? The fan as well. The last bit on this is the fan who said he travelled 2,000 kilometres to see Lionel Messi against Philadelphia. He can't be that much of a fan if he didn't realise that he wasn't playing. A bit of an own goal from this guy. Did you see this?
Yeah, I don't understand. I mean, I get it. It's been like a month nearly since it was announced. Maybe if you're just purely doing it for Messi, you're thinking, right, well, here we go. He's not there yet. He's in Rosario celebrating his birthday. He's not thinking about MLS yet. He's not thinking about Miami yet. Luckily, he hasn't got to think about a relegation battle. That's somebody who needs to do a little bit more research.
Right, moving on to our next game we're going to have a look at from this weekend. And I feel there were two big shocks this weekend. We're going to talk about DC in a moment, but the other one was Vancouver going to LAFC and winning 3-2. LAFC still find themselves in second, level on points with St. Louis in the West. But I feel the last few weeks, the last month or so, for me, it's shown how difficult MLS is, because before that, you'd look at LAFC and think, potential record points tally. Are they ever going to lose a game? You know, like we were praising them so much. We did our gradings and they were very high in that. Since then, they've just had a few defeats. They lost against Houston as well. Is this showing how difficult the league is, or LAFC just sort of faltering a little bit?
Well, let's not forget that you say they lost against Houston. They lost against Houston twice in a few days. It was back-to-back defeats, one away, one at home. For me, the West is not where it's at right now. Seattle have had some really poor results at home. Started really strong, of course. LAFC... 4-0 drubbing of New England early on in the season, and you're like, yeah, this is they mean business. I'm not sure they do. You know, heavy defeat to Houston. Vancouver, I know it was tight, but 3-2 at home, that's not the LA levels. And when you look at the West in general, St. Louis, LAFC, Seattle are in eighth overall with a win percentage of 40%. Like, that's not Seattle. I can't see what's going on in the West at the minute. It's certainly not what we're used to.
No, but there are some teams who are doing better than what we maybe expected. Vancouver in ninth is probably what we thought would happen to them. But this is a great victory. And I mean, a shout out for MLS UK's Ryan Gold. Two assists and a goal. He was a player of the match, definitely, against LAFC, and he can become a real star. I mean, he's already star for them, but he can become a real star for them if he continues to put in these performances.
Absolutely. Vancouver hadn't won an away game, by the way, this season. They go to LAFC and get their first win away. I like Vancouver. I love what they're doing. It's a place I'm desperate to visit as well. Like, I just love it. I love Vancouver, but there was no way you tipped them to win this game. And Ryan Gold as well is a man in form. I feel like we need to get him on. We're super proud. What he brought to that game was incredible, and long may it continue. LAFC, have been toppled, and Vancouver are a team to watch.
Yeah, yes. Moving into the East, back over to DC United, then beating FC Cincinnati. FC Cincinnati this is only their second defeat of the season. They got beat 3-0 to DC. I mean, what a performance. What a first half it was from DC. I mean, DC have been doing okay lately. They're performing a lot better than what we were at the start of the season, but surely you couldn't see this happening, because I couldn't.
Yeah, well, in April, do you remember we talked about there was a bit of a resurgence. Benteke had a fantastic game against Orlando. You've already rubbed my face in that one. But there was a run of results around April that turned things around for DC. Since then, been a bit here, there and everywhere, a couple of defeats in the last couple of weeks. But this is like a real, you know, statement of intent. Yes, it was at home. Cincinnati are still... 100% win record at home, but on the road, a loss to DC. I think that's Cincinnati's second loss of the season away, maybe. So it's not completely unheard of, but DC are certainly not a team that you want to mess with. I think they're kind of at that point where they have to kick on from this. We've talked about this in previous seasons. Like, they've been a bit all over the shop. And they're probably the biggest unknown quantity for me in the league right now, because they can show a really great performance and then, drop 6 points in the space of a week. So I really want to see them kick on from here. Of course, you mentioned Ryan Gold. We've got Wazza in charge, at DC, and we want him to be successful. So let's hope this is a bit of a springboard.
Yeah, and let's hope Wayne Rooney can take this form. His managerial form into the All-Star game, which is about a month's time, where he will be head coach against Arsenal. If you want to find out more about the All-Star game, actually, listen to our Jillian Sakovic episode. She explains it quite well and explains everything that goes around it. So we're all looking forward to that one. Cincinnati, they remain top of the East quite comfortably, actually. So I'm sure it's only a blip for them. Right, we're going to move on to our last game we're going to speak about on MLS UK Show Stoppage Time this week. And it's the one of the Texas derbies. It's Austin versus Houston. Austin won 3-0, following up a 3-0 victory against Dallas, actually, in the week. So it's been a great week for Austin, and definitely the best week of the season they've had, because we talked about before that they've faltered a bit. Few of the players not there from last year, but now they're coming back into the squad and they're showing it. Two excellent wins. To push them up to the table. They're now into eighth.
Yeah, last time we talked about Austin, it wasn't in a positive light at all. I'm just looking now, so 2, 3, 5, five wins since the start of May, which is much, much better. It's been a big turning point. Yes, there's been defeats, but 4-1 away at Sporting KC. I know they lost the Texas Derby before that, but they're, beating FC Dallas, that's a big result in Texas. Beating Houston Dynamo, 3-0 in both games. It's a pretty impressive turnaround. So overall, that it kind of gets them to sort of back to zero. So now again, like DC, they have to kick on. They're going to see where their season goes. But it's certainly, that's a massive. If you could win two games, you want it. If you're Austin, if you win two games, you want it to be against Houston and you want it to be against Dallas.
Yeah, exactly. And we've said before earlier this season that the defense were kind of letting them down a bit. They weren't so solid. They've just had two clean sheets in the last two games. Also, Ethan Finley and Jesse Zardes scoring in both games as well. So if they can continue that, especially Jesse Zardes, we know how good he is. We know the experience he's got within MLS. If he can continue that goal streak, then yeah, Austin will move up the table. But they've got a while to go yet before they get to Houston. I know they lost, but they followed up. They had those wins against LAFC. They beat San Jose 4-1. Hopefully this is just a blip for them, because I'm quite like seeing Houston in fourth. They're in the US Open Cup semi-final as well. It's turning out to be a really good season for them.
Yeah, they're one of those that we haven't really seen huge success from in our time, in the 5 or 6 years that we've been doing this. So I agree. I was enjoying it. And their home form as well, early on, I've mentioned it previously, their home form was fantastic. They've since lost a game at home, which is almost a shame. But I'm trying to think who that was against now. Seattle. They lost at home to Seattle. So yeah, a little bit of a shame, because they had a real run going in it. It was looking like a really tough place to go, which it hasn't really ever been. But yeah, I agree. It's really nice to see them doing well. And I want them in the playoffs, definitely.
Yes, exactly. It's just a shame in the League's Cup that Orlando are playing them at home and not having to travel. Because then we could guarantee that Houston would win that, of course, with our home farm. right, we're just going to round off a few bits before we leave. A few news stories that involve us here in the UK. One of them may be a sort of a, a loose link, but I'm going to use it anyway. But the first one, Charlotte have brought in Scott Arfield, of course, following Ashley Westwood. You know, he signed from Burnley early in the season, a bit of another and some more MLS UK sort of interest in that. I know Scott Arfield plays for Canada, but he's, you know, he's still born here. So he's just come from Rangers. I had a look, actually. To say he's 34, he actually played the most games in a season last season than he has in previous seasons for Rangers. So he's still got something in him. Could be good signing for Charlotte.
Yeah, fitness not an issue. Yeah, really, really good point you raised there. For me, I like it. Charlotte know exactly what they're doing. It's kind of the St. Louis... I say the St. Louis model. Charlotte have been in MLS longer, but we've made a lot about how St. Louis haven't got huge names with huge MLS experience. This kind of feels like a Charlotte signing, doesn't it? From the ones they've made previously. To be honest, I think there's a couple of players that have left Burnley in the last couple of weeks. I almost expected to go to Charlotte as well, just because of, you know, it just seems like a really good fit. But yeah, I think... It's a player that's not going to play. You're not going to play at Rangers at the age of 35, 36. And it seems like the age of 35, 36 is absolutely suitable for MLS. It's what everyone's saying at the minute. So yeah, I'm excited. The more UK we get in MLS, the better.
Well, how about this for a link? So you say there that a few Burnley players have left and you'd have thought they'd maybe gone to MLS. One of those could be Ashley Barnes, who has signed for your Norwich, replacing Teemu Pukki, who is rumoured to be off to Minnesota. There you go. Reynoso was back at the weekend. There's been a lot of stuff said about Reynoso so far this season. Of course, he was suspended for a bit of it through not turning up to training. He's back now. Could you see Pukki and Reynoso having a bit of a partnership up front for them?
Honestly, my heart, I've been waiting for it so long. Ever since Pukki said he was going to leave Norwich, wasn't going to renew his contract, and he said he fancied a different challenge. I know I'm biased, but I couldn't see a better fit for him than MLS. I'm actually surprised. I think he stayed at Norwich a little too long. I think there's Premier League teams that should have taken a chance on him. I genuinely think he's good enough. He hit double figures even in the seasons that we were rock bottom of the league with a terrible squad. He was still banging in goals. I think someone should have taken a chance on him. But once you go down and you get another year older, 2 years older, MLS, perfect fit for Teemu Pukki. Honestly, it's going to happen. We've been waiting for it to happen. There was no news, no sources. I just knew in my heart a new challenge meant MLS is a perfect fit for him. If it's Minnesota, it's Minnesota. I kind of knew it wasn't going to be Orlando. That would be too perfect. But I actually think it's a fantastic fit. I really do think it's a fantastic fit. And I think he'll be an absolute menace in MLS. I know deep down you actually agree with me as well. It'll pain you to say. But I think he'll be incredible. I really do.
Yeah, I think he'll be a good player. I think you're looking at the kind of, you know, a few of the players that St. Louis brought in, you know, up front. I think he's that sort of similar to them. You know, of course, coming from Finland, I don't think going to the Saudi League was ever an option for him. Very different climate over there. I don't think Orlando was an option for him. So Minnesota probably works. So I'm looking forward to seeing how he does in MLS. I think he'll suit him. I think you're right. I think he'll do very well. And, you know, I think he'll score goals. I think he'll go under the radar a little bit, especially with Lionel Messi joining the league. But, yeah, solid signing for Minnesota. And if they can partner him with Reynoso, so I think Minnesota, I mean, they're not doing that great this season, of course. They're about 12th, aren't they, in the West. But I think if that partnership comes off, they could get into the playoffs, and who knows from there. So, yeah, good signing. Right, the last story we're going to talk about, Jordy Petrovic for New England Revolution. He's been rumoured to be going to Manchester United, or Man United scouts are having a look at him. Of course, New England Revolution lost Matt Turner to Arsenal last year, and his conveyor belt of New England goalkeepers continues to go on. He's been consistent this year. Do you think he'd do well for Manchester United? Because some people are talking about him potentially replacing De Gea.
Yeah, a lot of talk about De Gea, isn't there? So naturally, as soon as you hear about a goalkeeper potentially joining the club, you know, it's fuel to the fire. Clearly a fantastic player. Look, there's actually some fantastic goalkeepers in MLS. There always has been. Not all American, of course, but American keepers always seem to have a little bit about them. And just on previous form as well, you kind of just expect that the American keepers are going to be incredible. I think this move is certainly one that could happen. Is he going to be number one for Manchester United? Probably not. We're still waiting to see a lot of keepers who have moved to the Premier League do anything, get any opportunities whatsoever. But there's so much talent, players that are just as good as him or better, that are still sticking around or waiting for that move. They're going to presumably come in the summer months. But it's certainly one to watch, and it's going to open floodgates again. Big team like Manchester City came in for Zach Steffen. Big team like Manchester United. Part of me wants to keep them in MLS, but part of me, as soon as they're shipped to the Premier League, it's like, yeah, okay, go on, lads.
Yeah, well, you never know. And who knows from there? He may sign for Manchester United, get loaned out to Norwich, for example. So you could have him there. Although, having seen that Vicente Reyes has signed from Atlanta United to Norwich in the last few hours, you could have a whole host of sort of MLS linked goalkeepers at Norwich. That'd be quite nice. A one and two of that we can keep an interest on. It'd keep me interested in Norwich.
Yeah, any interest in Norwich is always appreciated, especially since we're dropping like a stone. It's really nice. I don't like seeing Atlanta United associated with Norwich too much. But in all seriousness, Norwich are a fantastic club at taking young players, taking youth and developing it. What MLS are doing is incredible. And I think MLS, quite rightly, now being scouted very well. We just talked about Manchester United coming in for a Montreal goalkeeper. What I like about Norwich, and what I'm still proud about Norwich, is that they'll go the extra mile. They'll delve into the academies, into the twos or the B teams or whatever they're called. And they'll really scout out some talent. So I'm excited about that one.
Yeah, well, we'll have to see what happens over the course of the summer. Don't forget, throughout the summer, we will be with you with the MLS UK show. Elliot may have to take a few weeks off because of the impending birth of his first child, but we'll try and make up for it around it. And we'll work to, I mean, it's only fair, Elliot. We'll work to whatever you're getting up to. It might be a lot more Zoom episodes rather than in person, because, of course, we were going to do this in person. But I think your room at the moment, you won't be able to see it on the camera, but the room is not in a fit state for anyone to go there, let alone me.
Boxes and boxes of baby stuff, unfortunately. Moses baskets and the high chairs and all sorts. Yeah, ridiculous, but it's happening. I've got League's Cup to look forward to, so hopefully I'll just be some late nights, me and the little one, chilling, watching League's Cup. And the due date is actually when the All-Star game is, so we'll see how we go.
Well, you could be watching that from the delivery ward, maybe. I don't know whether Bryony would allow that or not. We have actually had a few questions come in, one about the League's Cup from you guys, from our listeners. We will be answering those over the next few weeks. We've said very bumper episode of Stoppage Time this week, so we've run out of time. But if you have enjoyed the episode, then please show us your appreciation by leaving us a rating on your podcast provider. But Elliot, there's one rule and one rule only.
LA Galaxy style, remember when they were good? Throwback. 5 stars only, please. Thanks.
If you're watching on YouTube, I should say, then please subscribe, click the notification bell, and like the video as well. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. We're on them all at MLS UK Show. But for now, thanks very much for watching. Thanks very much for listening. I've been Henry Hewitt.
And I've been Elliot Holman. Welcome, Timu Puki.
See ya.
Podcast Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business?
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com.
Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.